If you live life for love, then you can never be wrong. If you live life for love, you'll live forever eons and beyond and beyond and beyond and beyond, beyond and beyond and beyond and beyond. If you live life for love, then you can never be wrong. If you live life for love, you'll live forever eons and beyond and beyond and beyond and beyond, beyond and beyond and beyond and beyond.
I know everything I write's here to stay. I saw the future from light years away. I put love in all these syllables. So this is all billable and willable. This is charity for future gens. Unmatched clarity from a super lens. So you can win, cause that's life's purpose. Elevating us all to strikes pure bliss. And I feel like another worldly sage, cause I discovered this at an early age. And if I make it to the pearly gates, I really hope a little mercy waits. I'm flawed, but I promise I water seeds for love, and I die for my daughter's needs. Thankful her and I have a crazy bond. This is heaven on earth, way beyond.
If you live life for love, then you can never be wrong. If you live life for love, you'll live forever eons and beyond and beyond and beyond and beyond, beyond and beyond and beyond and beyond.
If it ain't for love, what you living for? We must be taking less and giving more. Forgiving, life's too sweet to stay bitter. Make every day litter, every day glitter. All these loved ones died, why am I still here? Since my high school years, strife killed peers. I wish no one died, but it gives things meaning. Our cluttered minds need more than spring cleaning. Hard to find happiness in all this hate. They've robbed us all in this lawless state. Material things never hit you deep. Memories the only things you get to keep. They're priceless and you can make them for free. Loved ones smile above from the memories. I know they're happy now, go party on. I feel your energy so far beyond.
If you live life for love, then you can never be wrong. If you live life for love, you'll live forever eons and beyond and beyond and beyond and beyond, beyond and beyond and beyond and beyond. If you live life for love, then you can never be wrong. If you live life for love, you'll live forever eons and beyond and beyond and beyond and beyond, beyond and beyond and beyond and beyond.
Damas y caballeros, ladies and gentlemen, bienvenidos al show Vida en Zero Gravedad, Life in Zero Gravity, tú sabes las vibras. You know the vibes. You're well aware of the vibes by now. If you don't know them, you'll find out by the end of the episode. You will discover the vibes. And the vibe is right. Would I put the game Beyond Life for Love? If you live life for love, then you can never be wrong. Yeah, you know that. You know how it feels. So, kind of a packed episode. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. What do I want to get into first? Oh, one thing I did want to get into. This is unrelated, but just as I'm booting up this little software here, I see that there's like a voice clone like option, and I'm just thinking like, yeah, I want to give AI access, like basically help AI out. Like I already know they're going to be copying our stuff in the future. Let me like allow them to do that on my own. You know, maybe that's good software. You never know. You never know when your last day is. But then again, I think I'm good. I don't think I want people just being able to recreate and like not even recreate, create new things out of my voice. Like, that's, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I guess I'll let you know in the future how it shakes out. But for now, I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know if I want that. It just sounds bad, but I could be wrong. Sorry, I zoomed down so you could see. This is a new piece that I picked up yesterday. A couple of locations of Rad Coffee. One's in Upland. What do they got now? Upland, Long Beach, Covina, Riverside. I think there's going to be another location. You might have seen them in Vegas. They have a Rad Coffee truck, and it'll be at festivals in Vegas too. So yeah, if you never tried it, it's definitely one of my favorite coffee places for sure. So I'd recommend it. And I just think I got a couple shirts from them now, pretty cool designs. And yeah, I hope y'all are doing well out there. Pretty good weekend for me overall. I did witness something pretty funny. I heard this girl say, just because y'all went on y'all little trip, he could still get blocked. And I was just like, man, that's ruthless. Whoever you are out there, fallen soldier, I feel for you. Getting blocked by someone you just bought a trip for, him, you get blocked. I've been there. I'm not going to lie, I've been there. Crazy Koki, it was kind of like that. I don't think I'm fully blocked, though. I don't think she ever actually blocked my phone number, weirdly. I remember her popping up, like, months later, like, so where'd you disappear to? Like, what do you mean? It seemed clear you didn't want to talk to me, and automatically I didn't want to talk to you off of that, so why would I be hitting you up? She hit me up, and then, yeah, when I was talking to her about that trip. Luckily, I was able to get my money back for her flight, which I stupidly paid for. One of her flights, not the one that she actually went on, but the flight to Mexico. Luckily, I got that back, so that's good. Could have been bad, but I'm thankful that it wasn't. So, yeah, it definitely turned out better than it could have. But I just thought that was funny. Like, that's wild. You're going to block a dude after you go on a trip. I don't know where the trip was to. And from, I suppose, but still, it's like, that's crazy. You have that type of bond where you go on a trip with someone, you're blocking them over like something they said or something. It's like, I mean, I guess there's certain things like that somebody could say that could kind of justify that. But for the most part, it's like, just figure it out. You don't have to block them, like, communicate. All these girls say that guys are bad communicators, but they'll block you. I don't even know how many times I've been blocked, to be honest. I get blocked like every day. No, it's not that often, but I get blocked often. I've been blocked a couple times in the last few days, I think. Maybe just once. But still, it was like, it was pretty quick. Just making jokes. People don't like jokes, man. I don't know. One girl just, yeah, do I get, no, I'll get into that later. Social media got people moving on at record speeds, though. Like, it's crazy how they do each other. You know, she got a bunch of guys lined up. He probably got girls lined up. So who's more wrong? Let's just see who can do who the worst, you know? We ain't even in the same universe. You can do your worst, but you'll never do me worse. Zero Grav, straight up soul data. 2019 Life in Zero Gravity Part 3. Check it now. But yeah, social media is wild. I finished reading this book, Crying in H Mart by Michelle Zonner. I think I'm saying her last name right. That almost sounds like it's Michelle's Honor, right? But it's Michelle Zonner with a Z. I might be saying it wrong. I don't know how you say her name. It was a good but sad book. You know, it was basically about her dealing with her mother passing away from cancer at age 56, which is super young. That's actually, oh wow, that's actually my parents' age. I just thought about it. Yeah, that's my parents' age. So that's weird to think about, you know, someone passing away at your parents', you know, like if my parents passed away this year, that'd be devastating, honestly. It would just be really unexpected. And it seems like with her mom, it was a pretty quick decline. I'll let you read the book if you want to read it. But yeah, she declined quickly. And yeah, if the name is familiar, she's the singer for Japanese Breakfast, which I guess is just her project, but she has like her band, you know. But yeah, so it was a good book. My brother Ben got it for me, Christmas present, so thank you for that. I've been trying to read a book a week so far. So good. That was the fourth book I read. Yeah. Yeah. Cause there are, I think there's 5 Mondays in this month. So I've been reading one. Yeah. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good, actually. I think I kept track of it. I mean, I could see it on my phone and let you know, but I believe that was my fourth. Yeah, so yeah, I would recommend it. It was like an interesting insight into Korean culture, which I mean, I don't know super much about. So it's interesting to learn about the different foods and just the connections and stuff. And, you know, like when I saw the girl, like she looked Korean to me, but apparently, you know, she's like her dad's white, her mom's Korean. So I guess I should clarify South Korean, you know. You know, there's obviously North Korean and South Korean, so, but we just say Korean here. It's interesting. I mean, technically it's all the same area, right? One interesting fact though, and I this is just random that I'm even saying this, but the Northern Koreans are kind of malnutrition, you know, they live in a dictatorship, and they're malnutrition to the point where they're like several inches shorter on average than South Koreans, which is just wild to think, you know, because they're in the same part of the world. So that just shows like how nutrition can change, you know, your makeup. And honestly, for me, sometimes I wonder, like, I'm about 6'3", and my youngest brother's like 6'6", and I stopped eating meat in high school, like super developmental time, and obviously there's all that protein, there's the hormones and all that, and I wonder if I would, I believe I would have been even taller than I am if I never stopped eating meat. So it's interesting to think about. Yeah, you know what, and then I did injure my back at like 18. That probably played a role. So I don't know, it's just interesting. I mean, I'm fine with my height. I don't really want to be taller than this, but it's just interesting to think of, because like that's the difference between us. Like we stopped eating meat, me and my middle brother, in like high school. We went back to it eventually because it was just at that time, you know, it was expensive to eat like vegetarian, and there were not nearly as many options. Like now it'd be a lot easier. It's like every restaurant has like vegetarian options. It's a lot easier. Back then it was like, oh, you want a bean and cheese burrito, you want fries, like pretty much all there is. You know, there were not a lot of options. It's like, oh, you want this salad with just croutons in it, like really was not a lot, like honestly. So yeah, it was more difficult. Now it's like every place has something. So Tekken 8 released. It's been a long time since there's been a Tekken game. Tekken 8 is finally out, and man, Tekken 8 slaps hard. Like the faster pace, I think, suits my fighting style because I'm aggressive. Anytime I'm not aggressive on there, that's when I start getting wrecked. And actually, I haven't even lost many matches at all on Tekken. I think I've only lost like 3 since I started playing. I've probably won a couple hundred, so that's pretty good. And the ones I lost were super close, and I came back and wrecked them the next time, so in the rematch. So yeah, actually that's really good. I didn't even think about it. I wasn't keeping track. I think I've lost a couple rounds here and there, but even then I haven't even lost a lot of rounds. I bet you I've only lost like 12 rounds total, so that's pretty good. Out of the hundreds of rants I've won, you know, I've played through almost all of the character stories. I forget what you call it, the chapters, I guess. I think I forget. There's a bunch of modes on there though, and definitely seems worth it, even though I forgot. Like getting hit with that $70 price tag, that was a bit much, man. That was steep. That slapped me. That $70 price tag. I tried though. I tried, like, like games are like $10 more, but it's like, damn, that extra $10 just feels wrong. It doesn't feel like it should be that much. But hey, what can you do? We're all just living, trying to survive in this hellscape, you know? Yeah, but fighting, I don't know, like a lot of, I have pretty much always liked Tekken over Street Fighter ever since I played Tekken, you know? And we sidestep you bitch asses, you Street Fighter fans. Like, you be trying to throw shots and we just step to the side. You can't touch us. All right. So fuck out my face. Oh, I made it past the 10 minute mark. Cool. We're good. Fuck shit, bitch. Monetize, suck my dick. Anyway. I've liked Tekken more than Street Fighter. I like the 3D element. I like the sidestepping and all that. I don't know. I just like that aspect of it. The 3D element of it is just a little more fun to me and feels more realistic. Like when we're just like, oh, let's throw these kicks to the side, like these punches to the side. Let us fight like this. It's like kind of weird. I'm disappointed that we never got to see Tekken cross Street Fighter. Like we saw Street Fighter cross Tekken, but we never saw Tekken cross Street Fighter. That would have been interesting to see those characters in that 3D element, you know, but that's a harder game to make. Like Street Fighter, I think, is easier to make. And then one thing I like about Namco for that is like with Tekken and Soul Calibur, they don't make it where they have like ultimate, super mega, ultra edition stuff, like, you know, which Street Fighter, they're still re-releasing Street Fighter 2 with more stuff. Like every couple years, there'd be a new edition of Street Fighter 2. And it's like, it's just a money grab, you know, and it's not cool. It's like, if I bought one version of it, just let me have this new version. If you want to charge a couple bucks, okay, but I don't want to have to buy a whole new version of the game. That's not fair, you know, like that's just a cheap money grab. But yeah, Tekken had me thinking, is King the greatest Mexican warrior of all time? If you think about it, I mean, he's been a champion for like 20 something years, man. Pretty impressive. It's probably been like 30 years. Really crazy. What a run by King, honestly. 3 decades as a champion. I don't know, just some food for thought, honestly. Growing up, a lot of my homies didn't fuck with Super Smash Bros. Like, some of them did, but a lot of them didn't. And it's because you can't just like memorize combos. You know, you can memorize combos on Tekken and Street Fighter and all that stuff. Marvel vs. Capcom, you don't even have to memorize them. You can just mash the buttons and you'll probably win if you can mash faster. It was always funny to like go over to someone's house that was supposedly really good at Marvel vs. Capcom and just wreck them. And I'm like, I don't even play this game. Like, nothing against it. It's cool. It's just a little... it's a little more button mashy than the other fighting games, I think. So like, I would just come over to their house and wreck them and they'd be shocked. And it's like, yeah, bro, this game is not that skillful. I mean, I know like there's skill involved and there's high level players of that and all that, but I'm saying like, you can wreck, you know, the average person pretty easily. Cause I definitely think like, New Jack's better than me at fighting games, right? For sure. Or he plays them more than I do. I don't have time. So I think if you were ever going to bet on us, bet on him. Like if we're playing, like there, I got a good chance of winning, but bet on him. But I remember he loved Marvel vs. Capcom when we were kids and he was all good. He was like talking trash. And then I whooped his ass like the first time we played. I don't even think we played after that, but I remember just whipping his ass and like him just being shocked because it's like, yeah, bro, it's Marvel vs. Capcom. Like, I just mashed the buttons a little faster than you and I won. So that was pretty funny. It's just like, I don't know. I like Marvel vs. Capcom, though. It's fun. It gives you a pretty unique experience. It's just a little mashy. That's all. Nothing wrong with that. It's a little bit mashy, and there's nothing wrong with that. So, yeah, I don't know. That's just how I felt about it. They didn't fuck with it, though, because you couldn't memorize combos on Smash. Like, you kind of can, but it's not the same. It's not like
it all just chains together beautifully. There's a lot more blocking in Smash. And you got like the bubble, and the bubble can burst. Like that's, it's just a little different. Smash is definitely unique in that way. And it can be really basic because you're only really using, you're not using as many buttons to fight in Smash because a couple of your buttons are used for jumping generally. So yeah, instead of like, you can jump up, but then they also have the buttons that you use for jumping. So it's interesting. It's just a different setup. It's a whole lot of A and B attacks in Smash, and you can do a lot of different attacks with that. Like they varied it quite a bit, but it's not the same type of combos in there, you know, just a little different. So it's harder to play. And I could always beat them at that. Other than like New Jack was pretty crazy at Smash. I don't know if we ever played against each other, but when we would play on teams and he would always do better than I did. Yeah. I don't think I ever actually played against him on Smash though. I don't like to play against people because I have a hard time going all out when I'm playing like a friend, you know? And so it makes it hard because then they win and they talk trash, and it makes it hard for me because I'm like, well, damn, I don't even want to beat you like that. You know, like I feel bad. I beat some of my friends in Smash just because they would always trash it. And it's like, look, well, you motherfuckers just suck at Smash. That's not my fault. Like, yeah, it has a learning curve. Most people, when they play Smash, they fall off the cliff, you know, like they, I know I did when I was a kid playing Smash for the first time. Like that was how I lost like all my matches, just falling off the cliff and not knowing what I was doing. So definitely a thing with Smash. You gotta be careful. Like that's the main difference between Smash and other fighting games, you know, so something I always kept in mind when I was playing it. So yeah, I mean, you can fall off the cliff in any of them, but it happens a lot more often in Smash. And it's just easier, you know, you just jump wrong. You can't really jump off the cliff in other fighting games. Like you can get knocked off the cliff, but usually you have to get hit to actually go off. And sometimes it sucks. Like I don't know how many times it happens on Soul Calibur a lot. Soul Calibur is bad for that. So many times I'm whooping someone's ass on Soul Calibur, and then like I happen to be at the edge and they hit you once and then ring out. Like that probably is a good amount of my losses on there. Even though I usually win, like the times I do lose, it's like, I bet you like at least like 40% of them are just ring outs, which is so annoying. But I've benefited from them too. I've been getting my ass whipped and then knock somebody off the cliff. I know they're mad. I've done that online too. I know they're mad as hell. When you do that, because it's like there's nothing you could do. Like, yeah, sorry. Sorry you don't have this level of skill. Yeah, but I don't know, fighting games in general, I think they require more skills than like online shooters, because you could just memorize the map on online shooters. That's what a lot of people do. They camp, they like know the map, they know the spots to go and wait for people and stuff. And it's like, yeah, it's just kind of a waiting game. Not that there's not skill involved, but that's definitely part of it, you know. And then with the glitching and stuff, I feel like it was always glitchier. You could hit that glitch switch. I remember that would happen a lot, like especially early online games. It was like somebody would make themselves a lag switch. And so they'd make it lag when they found you. And it'd be, and they'd be able to work around it, but you'd just be shooting and they wouldn't be in the spot where it showed on the screen because it'd be lagging. People would master that and they'd win games off that lag switch. So that was so annoying back in the day. I'm sure people still do it now, but I think it's harder to do. Yeah. But yeah. And I remember like, man, I might have created like one of the greatest online names ever. Because it's hilarious. My online name for years was Big Dick Swangin'. You can't even have that as a name anymore. Big Dick Swangin'. It'll get censored. You can't even do it anymore. But it's just funny to get, like, you get headshotted by Big Dick Swangin'. Like, just, oh. I always wanted to make a duo. Like, Big Dick Swangin' and Big Nuts Hangin'. Just like, you know, just follow up one after the other. get headshotted by both of them. The big. Oh man, that was fun though. Now people try to copy that swag. You can't copy that swag. Big dick swinging swag. Nah, son. We ran the online streets. Now you can't do that. It went soft. Like, the usernames can't have curse words. But I guess you could probably still do big D swing, and they probably couldn't do anything about that. I wonder if they'd let you do big nuts hanging. They might. I don't know. Technically, that's not a bad word, right? Maybe big wang swinging. Oh, there you go. That might work. Don't take my names. If I see you on there, I'll murk you. If I see you stealing my online names. So anyway, hard left here, but a lot of people donate sperm for free, right? There's a lot of free sperm donors out there. But I make $1,500 a month, so I'm stunting on all you, just donating all this jizz. You know, straight cash money. Fuck them kids, Michael Jordan. Nah, but for real, like, I see these ads for, like, sperm donors, and it's just like, I don't know if I could do that. Could you do that? I don't know if I could do it. Like, if it was, like, a friend, I've actually had, like, some girls say, like, you know, if I don't find anyone by a certain age, would you donate sperm to me, like, to be, and I could just have your kid, you know? And that's like a really nice, like, gesture. It's an honor for them to ask that, you know. It's weird that that's happened multiple times. I don't feel like that's normal. I don't know what I did, but when they say that, it is an honor. But I think I could do it in that scenario. Let's say there's like a lesbian couple that I'm friends with or something. I could see that. But other than that, I don't know if I could do that. Just have like hundreds of random kids out there in the world and like not know them. Like part of me is like, oh, I could go Genghis Khan with it. And then everyone's just related to me. But that would be weird because then like later on, you like, and your kids end up dating each other. Like you know, like one of your descendants is a boy, one's a girl. They both got your DNA. I mean, I guess we all been doing that with Genghis Khan anyway, right? But I don't know. That'd be weird. They link it back to you. I don't know about that. Then it's your fault if everyone's like inbred and has like health problems. You think of that, sperm donors? Do you even think about that? You might be causing inbred diseases, you know, like the royal family. They don't care. Oh, man. But yeah, another hard left. So Bernard Arnault, he overtakes Elon Musk. His net worth is now $207.8 billion, roughly. He's the CEO of LVMH, which owns Louis Vuitton and Sephora. And I don't know, like, as much as, like, I think being a billionaire is kind of evil, honestly. I don't know how you justify it. I don't know how you sit there like, yeah, I know there's, like, millions of people starving in the world, but fuck it. I gotta stroke my ego. Let me have this money, you know? Let me have these billions that I don't need. But, so, like, Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah, Zuckerberg... Elon Musk, Bezos, those are some famous multi-billionaires, right? And I can kind of justify their billions more. So start with Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg is, I mean, I think social media has had more of a negative impact personally, but I won't say it hasn't done anything positive. I think there's been a lot of positive things too. Just having the world connected. At its best, it spreads news, you know, valuable information for people. It helps people stay in touch with their friends. Like there's some good in it. There's enough good where you can kind of justify its existence, even though personally I think there's more bad than good that comes from it, but that's just me. don't really like social media too much. And I say this even though I'm about to share this on social media. But yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of social media. So could kind of justify that, right? In a way. Amazon. They pay their workers like shit. Cause a lot of waste on the planet. Really put mom and pops out of business, you know. Really just kind of affects a lot of industries in a negative way. But makes it easier for people to get things, you know. It that also connects the world. It does provide a lot of jobs. They might be not the best jobs, but I mean, there's like 1.5 million Amazon workers, I believe. It's a lot of jobs, significant, and that type of stuff. So it's like, okay, I can kind of justify that in a way. Then with Elon Musk, that one's the easiest one. That's why I save it for last. Electric cars is overall better for the environment. We could help heal this ozone layer. It's starting to heal and like really extend all of our lifespans by switching over to electric cars. Could justify that. Yes, all these guys are kind of not the greatest people in their own ways, but yeah. Okay. Now you have this guy that owns companies like Louis Vuitton, which really creates a lot of fashion waste and really like overprices a lot of its goods. Say Sephora too. Louis Vuitton more than Sephora, I'd say. But both of these are strictly vanity things. Strictly vanity things, flexing for insecurity's sake. And I find that harder to justify. And now this man's the richest man in the world. For the time being. To me, that's wild. I had no idea. It seemed like it happened very suddenly. But yes, that's disturbing. $200 billion for strictly vanity stuff. It's like, oh, I want to wear these clothes to stunt. Oh, I want to wear this makeup to stunt just to look different. Like, and there's a side of it where it's like, oh, look, they're making people feel good about themselves. Okay, but that's kind of a loose interpretation, you know. Fashion waste is a big problem. The shit's way overpriced, let's be honest. And you just can't really justify it. Sephora, not as much. It's not as overpriced, I guess, even though it is. But Louis Vuitton and that stuff is like crazy overpriced. Crazy inflated for no other reason than because it's a name brand. All those fashion companies, it's like they just slap that logo on anything. It could be the worst, ugliest piece of trash. It doesn't matter. If it has that logo on it, people are going to buy it and they're going to overpay for it. So, yeah, I'd say I can't justify that as much. Just can't. But yeah, that's the way the world goes. Speaking of a waste of time, speaking of a waste, Nicki Minaj and Megan Thee Stallion are trading weak bars. Just come at me. I want all the smoke. Their bars are weak, man. Like, it's funny what people think good bars are. I saw some video where some guy's like just amazed that Nicki Minaj said that whole 6 foot. I know a girl is 6 foot. I call her Bigfoot. Tell her get up on a good foot. To me, that's trash. It's not clever. It's lame. I see the thought process behind it. It's lame. And it's like for all these girls to talk about how they were like, they were supporting Meg and they're against domestic violence and all this stuff. Now she's talking about Megan's Law and like hitting, you know, for free beat, you could hit Megan raw. It's like, it's just lame. It's a lame beef, you know? And I don't think either of them, I'm gonna be honest, I don't think either of them are that great. I think they're overrated because they're women. I'm just gonna say it. I know that's not popular. I believe there are great female rappers out there. They don't get the publicity. These girls are very mid at best to me, you know, and I don't really, I find Nicki, I guess, to be more annoying. Maybe it's just because she's been around longer, but she just seems like such a negative person a lot of the time, always beefing with people. You know, she got all that surgery clearly, but she body shames women and stuff like that. And it's just like, I don't fuck with that personally. I think it's lame. I don't know. I think it's a lame beef. Nobody wins. They're not making good music out of it. And yeah, I mean, I've listened to Meg's music, and like, it can be fun to listen to. Nicki has some stuff that's fun to listen to. I find Nicki to be really corny a lot of times, you know, buns out, wiener, like lines like that. It's just like, that's lame. Like, that's not a good line. And she has a lot of lines like that, you know, and I'm just not that impressed, honestly. I get it. She's a popular artist. She sold a lot. It's like, it's just selling to the lowest common denominator. And I don't find it to be super clever or impressive. I think it's cheesy. I think it's cheesy. It's like Drake, you know, he has a lot of lame ass lines too, including that one that he stole from me. He ruined my line, man. I said, counting more checks than the Prague census. To break it down, Prague is a city in Czechoslovakia. They call Czech people Czechs. If you were doing a census, you'd be counting the Czechs, right? He said, so many Czechs owed, I think I'm Czechoslovakian. And I cringe, because it's like, you took a good line and you made it so damn corny. And I was like, why did he find that line? And then I looked in my profile that, sure enough, that line's highlighted. So I don't even believe it was actually him personally. I think whoever helped him write the verse, I think they saw it, because this is the connection that I'll make. So I have people from the Griselda camp following me, right? That was over a Griselda producer beat. Conductor Williams made that beat, right? So pretty easy for them to stumble across my bars. They're following me. They produce the beat. Not that easy to connect the dots on that, but I'm tired of motherfuckers biting me, you know, and I'm trying to evolve past insulting rappers, but bear with me, because they make it difficult sometimes. They make it difficult when they do whack shit and they cannibalize the game like that. It's just lame. But on a more positive note, happy birthday to Rakim, one of the most influential ever. It was an honor to share the stage with you, honestly, and it's a memory that I'll never forget. So shout out to Rakim. He inspired every modern rapper, whether they realize it or not. Everybody got some of that, because rappers weren't like cool like that until Rakim. You know, like, rappers were making fun music. They were kind of the party guys, whatever. Maybe they were socially conscious, but rappers were never like, they didn't have that level of cool before Rakim. So big shout out to Rakim, man. Happy birthday. He's also my parents' age. It's kind of weird that age keeps coming up, but yeah. artists out there, you got to get it. Just post as much as you can. Fuck the like count shaming. You got to get it. Fuck it. Stop worrying so much about what people think. And I'm guilty of it myself. I'm like, oh damn, I posted this and like 10 people liked it. That sucks. Who gives a fuck? It doesn't matter. Just keep pushing until it happens, you know, because people are going to talk shit regardless. You're not going to get anywhere if you're posting like one thing every month, you know, and like nobody sees it. If you post every day, eventually people are going to start seeing it. If you post multiple times a day, you're only bettering your odds. And I'm not saying to just pump trash out there, but, you know, let's say you have a new song out. Post about it nonstop. Eventually it'll reach people. They can't stop it forever. Like, it's going to break through. Like, maybe you won't be number one on the charts, maybe all that, you know, but at the end of the day, you're going to build more of an audience. We can't worry about like how it looks to other people. That's a big thing I would say. And I've done it. People shame me all the time. They shame my like count. They say I buy followers and all that, whatever. It doesn't matter. You know who says it? It's always people that are less successful than me. So why should I care? Not that I have to compare it, but it's like, yeah, this guy with 30 followers is saying I bought my followers. Okay. Why do I care? It's never like a really successful artist that says that. It's always some guy that like wishes they were even on my level of success that says that. So I can't worry about that. Just keep pushing. You know, let's work together. Let's make this happen. We got to do it together. We got to support each other, stop tearing each other down so much. And we can do big things. We don't have to be afraid of this game. So, yeah, man, let's keep our heads up. Let's stay focused and let's just put out good content. We can do it, you know. I want to shout out my brother New Jack. He had a show in LA this weekend. Stay with it. I know he's had a hard time and like, it's rough, man. This game is a cruel ass mistress. It's just brutal sometimes, but we'll make it through. We'll make it to where we want to make it and everything will work out. We just got to stay focused and keep our heads up and stay positive and things will happen. You know, it'll happen for us. I know it's hard. It looks dark sometimes, but it'll work out in the end. I really believe that it'll work out. I hope for the best, man. I really hope for the best. Whew, hope everything works out. And I want all you to live your dreams too. I said before, I could never say that too much. You know, I want you all to live your dreams. Like, I can picture us headlining Coachella. I can picture it. Like, I can manifest that. I can see it happening. I know that's something that he really wants. I was never as concerned about it, but I can see it for us. I can envision it. I mean, yeah, we're going to get into Coachella soon. Well, yeah, but for now, I can picture it. I've had dreams about it. It's going to happen. As long as we stay the course, as long as we stay positive, as long as we promote like we're supposed to promote, it's going to happen. They can't stop it forever. So just keep it up, man. I'll promote you. You promote me. We'll make this work. Just stay focused, man. Don't get down with like a bunch of, don't get down with all these people that don't care about you, that are just miserable with themselves trying to bring you down. Don't buy into it. We got to stop buying into that. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, man. Zero Grav and New Jack. I could see it on the flyer. It's going to happen. Mark my words. And I've mentioned that to people and they laugh at it like, you're not going to do that. You're not going to be able to do that. Yes, the fuck I will. You'll see. You'll see. And if I don't, it's going to be my choice not to do it. It's going to be me turning them down. So careful what you wish for. You might not believe. I will always believe. I'm never not going to believe in my talent because I know I'm a nerd about this stuff. Like, I've studied this stuff, written thousands of songs. Like, I know where I stand with everything. I know where I sit at the table. So I'm going to stay focused. Beware of that. When I'm focused, there's nothing that I can't do. It's been long enough. But speaking of Coachella, the Coachella lineup looks like it's for white girls. You know, the headliners is okay. So Tyler, the Creator, the least white girl of it, but still kind of a white girl artist, especially like Igor and stuff like that. It was white girl stuff, white girl music. Nothing against Tyler, the Creator, but I think him being on that lineup with all the other white girl artists, he didn't stand out he didn't stand out as like being like, oh well, that doesn't make sense. It's like, oh yeah, it kind of makes sense. Oh my god, I love Tyler. Lana Del Rey, some have called her Lana Del Taco after the weight gain. Not me, of course, I'm a nice guy. Some have called her that, but so yeah, Lana Del Rey. Tyler, the Creator. Who was the other one, man? I don't even remember who the... Oh, Doja Cat. White girl music. It's okay. I mean, Doja Cat's in the white supremacist chat with the incels. Like, it's white girl music. I'm not saying there aren't other demographics that like their music. Although I think Lana Del Rey is pretty much mostly white girls there. That's like... no doubt. Mostly white girls, right? That's like the big axe there. And it was kind of weird because at the bottom it said, and No Doubt. It's like, where's No Doubt playing on the lineup? Guess they got a reunion. But yeah. And don't get me wrong, I like Tyler's music. I like some of Doja Cat's music. I like No Doubt's music, you know. Not too big of a fan of Lana Del Rey, but I see the appeal. I just find it kind of boring, you know? I did not like that Sublime cover she did. I fucking hated that, actually. It reminded me of, like, the stuff they play at Starbucks when they play, like, the white girl versions of songs, you know? When you're in Starbucks and you hear some shit, it's like, oh, that almost sounds like that song I like, but it's, like, this terrible fucking badly sung white girl version over acoustic guitar. Like, I'm sorry, but Bradley from Sublime was just a better singer than Lana Del Rey. In more heartwarming news, his son is now playing with the band. Sounds a lot like his dad, and that's just, that really warms your heart when you see something like that. So, yeah, I thought that was really nice. It kind of got buried weirdly. I think Sublime's playing there too. That's right, which makes sense. That fits into that lineup. A lot of white girls like Sublime too. White girls are probably the biggest music demographic, especially in terms of being like the Stan Nut Rider type of like fans, you know? They go hard. Look at that's why Taylor Swift is as big as she is. You know. Honestly, that's why. A whole lot of white girls with disposable income and disposable underwear. I don't even mean to say that. You know about them wearing the diapers to the Taylor Swift show. Oh, that was a good one. I'm sorry. That was too funny. I didn't even plan that. That's not written down anywhere. The disposable income isn't even written down. That's all off the dome. Oh, man. But yeah, so the ticket sales for Coachella are slower than usual. $700 is just not worth it, man. It's not worth it. $700. Wow. Crazy. I can't justify that. $700. It's just the lineup is too weak for $700. I think they underestimate that. Like $700 is like a full week of work for a minimum wage worker. I almost like thought I messed up. Like I thought I was supposed to say minimum age, but I actually said it right and then it threw me off. It's minimum wage worker in Cali. That would be a full week of work for them. That's 100 hours for a federal minimum wage worker. 100 hours to go to a concert. Crazy. Like time is money, right? So you gotta work 100 hours, like two and a half weeks? To go to Coachella? You had to spend 2.5 weeks of your life to go to a weekend festival with like a lineup that doesn't even look. I mean, I haven't seen very many people at all say that they like the lineup. So, jeez. Man, I thought that was wild. I couldn't justify that. Let me see. I'm going to look up something real quick. Do some quick math here. I should have put this on dark themes. Anyway, my bad. Let's see. I see my how to measure hand circumference. I was trying to buy boxing gloves, or I did buy boxing gloves. Not trying to buy. That'd be a fail if I was trying to buy them and didn't, right? So let me look. I'm gonna look up how much. Oh, I'm just gonna say it. I'm gonna look up how much a box of Depends is. Let's see. A box of Depends. Depends how many that you're getting. No pun intended. No pun depended. And it depends how big. If you got a big type ass, the XL Protection Plus. How many come in this? XL Protection Plus, there's 80 in here. There's 80. You can get a box of 80 of them for $72.99. So you could buy, what would that be? 9 times 8. Let me know. That's 72, right? Yeah. 72. 9 times 8. Wait, I was doing that math wrong. Why was I doing 9 times 8? Oh, 720. That's what it was. You could buy 720 adult diapers. If you're a Taylor Swift fan, think about this. How many Taylor Swift concerts could you go to with 720 adult diapers? And you want to spend it on Coachella? Really? Do the math. And that's for if you got a big type ass. And if you're a Taylor Swift fan, you probably don't. You're probably flat like Taylor Swift. So, man. Oh, there's XXL. It's always funny. If you've never done this, I recommend you look up Depends, you know, for multiple reasons, because that's just funny to have on your search history. But also just like, it's always like some guy smiling like a middle-aged guy. It's usually not an older guy. I think they're trying to make it look hip. Maybe that's what it is. They should put Taylor Swift should get a deal with them, right? If I were her, I would turn it into a marketing thing. Honestly, that'd be smart, right? I feel like, what's this pack? Depends. How many are in there? I don't know. Anyway, so you could get 19 small to medium Depends for $13. So let's round it up to 14. 14 goes into 700 actually pretty evenly, right? 14 goes into, because obviously, yeah. Oh, actually, you could do real easy math on that. So that would be 50 times that, 50 times 19, because you could get 50 boxes of this. This is 19 in a pack, the small to medium size, which is probably Taylor Swift fan size for the most part. So you could get 19 times 50. I know it's under 1,000. That would be what, 981? I might be doing the math wrong on that. I'm probably doing the math wrong. Yeah, for sure. No, my bad. I fucked that all up. So it'd be 950. You get 950 of them easily for the price of one Coachella ticket. So how many times, you know, that means that, and realistically, if you really don't want to miss the show, you could probably shit your pants a couple times in one pair of Depends, you know? So that's like, you could shit your pants, let's say like 2,000 times for the price of one Coachella ticket. Now you tell me what's a better deal. So I had some girl insult me and assume I was broke based on my Instagram. It's this stupid girl that she was like calling, I don't even know what she was doing. She's on a 49ers post insulting the 49ers for their loss against the Ravens. Okay, so I thought, and then she was saying we. I thought she was a Ravens fan, so I said, how'd that L taste? Because as you know, the 49ers advanced yesterday, the Ravens didn't. And then she goes on a rant about how I'm broke and I live in the valley, which I don't. And like, then I'm like physically and mentally broke. And she just like went off and got all in her feelings. And all I was saying is like, I hope that you fix whatever emotional problems you're going through. She got so heated. And then she was like dissing me for being white. And then the girl had like blonde hair, blue eyes, and looked very white. It was just interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of psychos out there. You know, whoever you are, girl, I hope that you get it together, because that is just insane. All I said was like, how's that L taste, Baltimore? And then what I'll do is like, if there's an L in a word, I'll just like, all the letters except that L will be lowercase, and then the L will be capitalized. That's all I did. And she goes off on this rant, like for multiple like comments, talking about, you saved this post just to talk to me, you must be single, blah blah blah, like all this stuff. And just, it was so weird. It's like, I didn't save it, the algorithm put it in my feed and I saw your dumb comment. I thought it'd be funny to needle a Ravens fan because they lost, you got in your feelings. And then she was talking about like how I couldn't afford to live in the Bay. Apparently she lives in the Bay, but she has a hobby of insulting Niners like fans on Niners pages, talking about like my ego, and like I could not give a fuck any less. You just gave me content. Like, I don't care what you have to say. You don't know me. Even if you did, we care way too much what people think about us. I don't, but you clearly do. You clearly care. It's like, it's just crazy. Like, so many people insult people with like how much money they have. Like, that's like a common insult, to just jump to like, oh, you must be broke. And it's like, for one, you don't know their life. But it's also like, money doesn't matter. It really doesn't. It doesn't say more about you as a person. I think money's kind of evil, honestly. I think like, you get to a point where it's like, how much money do you really need? You're not like a better person because you're hoarding money. In fact, you're a worse person a lot of the time. So I don't get that flex. I find that odd. I think it's really weird to just instigate fights with 49er fans on a page. Like, what I said was super mild, and then you instantly take it personal and try to like insult me, dig through my profile, grasp at straws. And it's like, you're fucking with the wrong person, because I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm just laughing at your ass, and now my audience is laughing at your ass. You're just ridiculous. So yeah, I just thought that was funny. So when you ask someone, how's your day going, and they say bad, how do you respond to that? I'm great. Oh, sorry, you're doing bad. I'm great. Like, I always feel like the best that I can do is say I'm okay. I don't want to say that I'm good or great when they're doing bad. Maybe good is okay. Definitely can't be like, oh, I'm amazing right now. I just don't want to rub it in. That's all. It's just kind of a funny thought I had, because somebody was just all down and I was like, oh, I'm okay. But then I noticed when somebody else was good, I'd say, oh yeah, I'm good too. You know, because I also, it has to be close to even. I don't want them to say they're good, and then I'm not going to be like, oh yeah, I'm terrible, because then that's awkward too for them. So you got to balance it out. I guess that's one of the times where I won't be fully honest. It's like, yeah, I mean, generally I'm probably okay most of the time. I think most people, that's like a general thing. So I guess it's not really lying. But yeah, if I'm talking to somebody who's good, I don't want to bring them down. And maybe I'm automatically lifted by them saying that. I take it back. I'm not lying. I take it back. Oh, man. So my brother got into a bad car accident, and like, I feel terrible. Like, I really hope he's okay. Physically, he's okay. Mentally, I hope he's okay. It happens to everybody, you know. And I just feel so bad that it happened to him. And if you know him, like, send some positive energy his way, send some positive thoughts, and I really just hope that everything's all right for him, because it's hard to go through that, you know. I mean, I've been through it. Like, my car got totaled, and I don't know if his is, we don't know yet, but it's like kind of on the edge, or it looks like it could be, maybe not, I don't know. But I just, man, I hate for anyone to go through that. My family's just been through that a lot lately. You know, it's like, we got to get off the road or something. I don't know what, it's like a sign or something. You know, my dad and brother almost died in a car crash like a couple months ago. It's just, yeah, man, I got to get off the road. I don't even want to be on the road. I've thought of that. Like, I thought about how much it would suck to just die doing some menial task, driving somewhere. It's just all bad, man. That just sucks. So I don't want to do that. I got to find ways to get off the damn road, man. I don't like being on the road like that. I've driven a lot. I've driven probably at least 500,000 miles in my life already, and I'm still young, and like, had a lot of close calls. I haven't actually been in an accident that was my fault in like 10 years, I don't think. It's been a long time. And even the ones that were my fault were mild. It was like, I think three. There's one where I backed into somebody, as I think they backed into me at the same time. We'll never really know, but I had to take the blame for it. If anything, actually, I think it was their fault. I think they were speeding through the Walmart parking lot, and like, I'm just backing up. They're not watching for me. You know when people do that? But this is one of those scenarios where we actually ended up making contact and their bumper fell off. I'm like, huh, that's weird. I mean, most people can't even back out that fast. So it's weird your bumper fell off. This feels like it was set up. I almost wonder, it's crazy conspiracy theory, but I almost wonder if they like tried to get their bumper knocked off. Like, I think their bumper was already loose and they tried to like pin it on somebody. That's what it felt like, you know? So that was pretty crappy. But yeah, man. Oh no. Hope he's all right. It's the anniversary of Kobe's death, and that was, I know this is going in a dark direction, but that was just, that was one of the worst days of my life, man. That's like the only time I've ever cried about, I think the only time I've cried about somebody dying that wasn't like a family member or friend or something. It felt like he was a family member and friend. So rest in peace to Kobe. That was, still doesn't feel real a lot of times. And it's just incredibly tragic. I think it's the most tragic death in sports. Like, I can't even think, for the people outside of LA, I don't think they understand like how much he meant to this area. And it's hard to even really put it into words. It's just like, I don't know if we'll ever see anything like that again, because athletes don't stay in one city for 20 years anymore. You know, that just doesn't really happen. So, yeah, rest in peace to Kobe. Luka Doncic dropped 73 points on the fourth anniversary of his and Gigi's deaths, and that's so crazy. That's the highest scoring total since Kobe dropped 81. And it's crazy that he did that that day of all the days. I feel like everybody was playing really hard that day, and that's a testament to his legacy and just the type of player he was. He'll probably always be my favorite player, you know, and miss him. Wish that he went. I wish that he was still here, man. Like, he didn't deserve that. Nobody deserves to die like that, but just felt like he had so much more to give the world. So I hope his family is okay. And yeah. So my dad is Mr. Doom and Gloom. The last two playoff games, he quit on the Niners before it was over. And we're going to get into that. But yeah, he's always like, they're going to lose. They're going to lose. It's over. They're going to lose. It's like, bro, you got to have some faith. Like, give it a chance. Let's see what happens. Like, they've come back before. They've had a lot of comebacks over the years. They've had historic comebacks, you know, so just chill. Jim Harbaugh to the Chargers. Could Kaepernick be on his way to the NFL? I really hope so. Whether it's as a coach or player, that'd be really cool. I mean, he deserves it. Like, he was a great quarterback, and like, he didn't get a fair shake. The league blackballed him. I almost stopped watching football because of that. And even now I'm still like, I don't really fuck with this, you know? So yeah. This accident that I got in is screwed me over. I just had to pay $1,000 to repair a water pump. Car could be in the shop for a month. I mean, luckily I'll have a rental, but it's just like, just trash, man. It's not my fault. Some dumbass just backed into me. I had plenty of space. You saw it, actually. Go back and watch that episode. That was the two episodes ago. If you're watching this, go back two episodes and you'll see what this dumbass did. What the fuck, lady? Fucking my shit up. It's annoying. I'm glad that girl told me, and she was cute too. I think I said that before, but still remember that, because there was like a little connection. She was checking me out, I was checking her out. It's like, she might not have told me if I wasn't cute. Please don't be a piece of shit and hit and run people, you know. Don't let people hit and run you either if it happens to you, but don't be a piece of shit and hit and run people. It's so inconvenient, such a shitty thing to do. Have insurance, do the right fucking thing, because I'm not letting people get away with it anymore. I didn't let this person get away with it. If it happens again, I'm chasing them down. Like, the next person, just gotta do better, like the Niners did. KZR Rolls Balls. So the Niners, we will get to after the AFC Championship talk. The Chiefs beat the Ravens 17-10. Neither team really looked that impressive. Honestly, despite whatever Nick Wright says, man, Nick Wright is one of the most annoying pundits out there. He dick rides Pat Mahomes so hard, man. And it makes you, if you were rooting for Pat Mahomes, it almost makes you root against him. Cause he just, it's like a level of fangirlism. Remember when I talked about the Taylor Swift fangirls? That's like basically what Nick Wright is for Pat Mahomes. It's like the level of slobbering that he does on that guy's balls is crazy. Yes, I think it's fair to say Pat Mahomes is one of the best ever. To say he's the best ever, unequivocally, the greatest clutch performer, the greatest at coming back. He had a bad Super Bowl performance already, bro. He has 5 touchdowns and 4 picks in 3 Super Bowls. Let's just see how the rest of his fucking career plays out, because right now it looks pretty fucking ridiculous to say that shit. If Brock Purdy had those numbers, you'd be talking about how it was like all his supporting cast and all this shit. Just dick riding the fuck out of Pat Mahomes. I see a lot of these pundits do that, and I'm just like, he's good. He's great. Okay. MVP level player. Is he the best ever? Let's fucking see how it plays out, because right now he's 5 Super Bowls behind Brady. 5 Super Bowls behind him. I think he's going to lose this Super Bowl. I think the Niners are winning it, because they barely squeaked by the Ravens. You know, I know what people will say. The Ravens beat the Niners. That was kind of a fluky game. Not saying they couldn't beat the Niners. I think they got the talent. But for one, the Niners were dealing with the regular season Ravens. That's a different team. But on top of that, I don't know. I feel like it's very unlikely the Niners are going to turn the ball over 5 times in any game. I know the Ravens defense is good. But that was a little fluky, man. Balls just bouncing off our receivers and all that. Like, that was fluky. I don't think that would happen again if they played. I think it would be a close game. I think the Niners could definitely beat them. It could go either way. That's fine. I think in the playoffs, I would pick the Niners, because the Ravens have shown that they are just not ready for that stage. I don't know what it is. They got screwed yesterday, but you got to expect that. You have to outplay the Chiefs and the refs. That's just the way it goes. You know, and how long can a running quarterback really last? Lamar Jackson, excellent runner, good quarterback, right? Maybe borderline great thrower. Borderline. When he can't run anymore, it's going to completely change his game. Because you look at his passing numbers, I think he had 17 passing touchdowns, 7 picks. Not bad. Not bad numbers, but not like otherworldly, you know, super supremely talented. Like, pretty good numbers. You know, if Brock Purdy put those up, they'd say, see, look, game manager. So it's interesting, man. I mean, I like Lamar. I'm a fan of his. I want him to succeed. I was rooting for them over the Chiefs for sure. But some of the stuff that people say is just so ridiculous. It's like, oh, yeah, Brock Purdy's just not on Lamar and Mahomes' level and all this stuff. It's like, we don't know that. I mean, yeah, I would bet that he won't end up having as good of a career as Patrick Mahomes if you made me bet. But I would also tell you that it's too early. This was his first full year, man. And he had a better year than Patrick Mahomes this year. That's undeniable. You could look at the numbers. Numbers-wise, he had a better year. Like, there's no way you could slice it where he didn't. So, I mean, what are we really talking about here? Mahomes had more turnovers than him. Mahomes had less touchdowns than him. Mahomes had less yards than him. So what are we talking about here? It's just, it just gets ridiculous, the hyperbole. So the Niners beat the Lions 34-31 in the NFC Championship. They advanced to the Super Bowl. Teams losing by 17-plus at halftime were 0-21 before that. Crazy to think. And they won. They came all the way back and they won. First time in the history of the NFC Championship that's happened. The biggest comeback ever. Crazy. I never lost faith, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, there was a time where I was like, you know, maybe it's not their year, but you know what? The game isn't over. Like, the doubt crept in for sure. I mean, naturally, I didn't even know that stat, or maybe the doubt would have crept in more. I didn't know, like, oh, this has never happened before until after the game. I was like, fuck, that's crazy. So, credit to them coming all the way back. You know, they got really close the last few years. They were a dropped pick away from the Super Bowl with Jimmy G 2 years ago when the Rams went. You know, they were a Brock Purdy injury. Brock Purdy got knocked out of that game. If he didn't get knocked out of the game, they would have won that. I believe they would have won that game, because they showed this year that they totally dominated the Eagles. I know the Eagles weren't as good, but they had a lot of the same personnel. You know, they still have Jalen Hurts. They still have the same receivers, and it was a totally different game. You know, no team is going to win when they're fucking down to their fourth string quarterback. That's like, has a team ever won a championship in that case? Maybe it's happened somewhere, but I've never heard of that. So there's not really any shame in that. It's just really unfortunate. And then it makes you question, like, does the offensive line suck or what the fuck is going on where these guys keep getting hurt? You know, but so far it looks fluky. So Purdy did all this. He led his team to the Super Bowl in his first full year as a starter, coming off of a UCL surgery after getting destroyed last year, like physically destroyed, not play wise. He fucking barely played in the NFC Championship. Purdy threw a bad pick in that game. I think people said that that wasn't all on him, but I think you just can't make those mistakes in those moments, because that set up a touchdown and then the lead looked insurmountable for a second. Then they come back and, you know, after halftime they score. Even though it was only a field goal, they cut the lead to 24-10. That's two touchdowns and you got a whole half of football to play. Like, you got time. Like, that's not insurmountable. So at that point you felt a little better, and then they come all the way back. They get that fluky catch where it goes off the helmet. Now, they probably would have called pass interference on that anyway. It looked like pass interference. And Ayuk honestly missed that ball. He was close enough where he just almost got it on his own without it bouncing off the helmet. That was one of the craziest plays I've ever seen. And I do think it takes a little luck to get to win the Super Bowl, to make it there. There's going to be some stuff where it's like, damn, if that would have went another way, you wouldn't be there. And that could have very well have been one of them, honestly. I mean, I think the Niners were going to score on that drive regardless, but that definitely took a lot of momentum out of the Lions' sails. You know, I don't think it was that bad of a throw. It wasn't a bad throw. It wasn't a great throw. It was like, I'd say it was overall a good throw, but it could have been picked off. But that's how a lot of throws are. A lot of good throws could have been picked off. You know, they become good throws when they don't get picked off sometimes. So, yeah. But I'm honestly scared. Can any team get a fair shot against Mahomes and Mr. Pfizer Swift at this point? Or are they in their refs era? Are they in their rigged era? Can anyone beat them with the refs on their side? Because they called multiple fucking roughing the passer calls in Mahomes' favor yesterday. How fucking often do you see that? You barely ever see roughing the passer called. Every time I watch him play, he gets that call. Bullshit. Sorry. It's just like, that's kind of ridiculous. Why? There shouldn't be that different of a standard, honestly. Shouldn't be like that much of a beneficial thing for people. But yeah, I don't know. I really hope they get a fair shot. That's all I asked for, because I think they're the better team. I think they can win. Just give them a fair shot. Don't fuck them over with the refs. I can definitely see that happening because it's big money. You know, the Taylor Swift she's like her own economy, they say, and stuff like that. Just please don't rig this shit. Give us a fair fucking shot, because I'm tired of this shit. They got robbed out of that Super Bowl last time with the Chiefs. And that actually makes me think that it won't happen again, but I want to be looking for it. I don't think they would do that multiple times in a row, but you never know, man. Let's just hope. I just really hope for a fair matchup. And this feels so minor in comparison, but the Lakers pick up a dub against the Dubs. Nice dub. D'Lo is playing not to get traded, and that's pretty much your sports for the weekend. And now, let us read from the Book of Grav. Talent doesn't seem to matter these days. I don't know how my battery stays. Watching horrible music get all attention. It's hard to rhyme, but I draw the winds in. Admired by most, inspired my flows. I can't neglect the fire it shows. Can't be mad, I'm underestimated. Through all drama, I never hesitated. I write these songs for no one to hear. No matter their tear, I run the tear. Each verse is like a chandelier. Lines shine together, though cancel's near. They want to mute me because I grew too strong. The elites never forget who you wronged. I was a threat from my first breath taken. Wait until the day they send death's ways in. I'll never stop, you can kill me, yo. I'll stand up like, really, though? I bury them all with filthy flows. Line up your best and I still beat those. Ha, I'll never stop, you can kill me, yo. I'll stand right up like, really, though? I bury them all with filthy flows. Line your best up and I'll still beat those. Grav. Shout out to Oh My. A lot of these stickers are Oh My stickers. Got the Roshi on there. Much peace, much love. Thank you for listening. I wish you all the best. I hope you're all doing well out there. I hope everything works out for you in the best way possible. Truly, truly, I hope that. I just want everything to go well, you know. Jazzy, it looks like she's coming back next week. She should be on the next episode. She definitely will be on that. I really hope this works out. Send me your positive energy, man. Send your prayers, all your thoughts. Even if you're conservative, I'll take your thoughts and prayers. No, I'm not like that. I care about you all. I don't care what your political leanings are. I'm just being funny. But really, please, like, this means the world to me for her to finally come back and live in California. I know she spends a lot of time here, but I really want to be able to guide her through this very important, crucial stage of her life. I feel like I'm very qualified and I can really help her out and make the most of her life. So please pray for us. And I really want this to work out. Thank you so much. Much peace, much love. Until next week, this is Life in Zero Gravity.